Welcome to the wisdom and wit of Father Matthew Guckin. Over the years, Father Matthew Guckin has produced many wonderful teaching series, and we are delighted to showcase a number of them for you. On today's show, an episode from his series on the Gospel of St. John. Here's Father Guckin.
Father Matt, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Dave. Thank you. Thanks.
Yes.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity here to think about, sometimes out loud, the gospel according to St. John. And as hard as it is to believe, we're almost finished. This is the penultimate chapter in John's gospel, John 20. And I just encourage, before you actually begin to read this chapter, chapter 20 of John's Gospel. And again, as I've said before, I encourage the listener who is at home, not while he or she is driving, but if you're at home, to just try to read along with it. But as you do so, try to see it through the filter of the sacraments, because I'm going to make mention of two sacraments in this chapter, the sacrament of the Eucharist and the sacrament of reconciliation, which is kind of like the 1-2 punch in Catholic spirituality.
Yes,
right?
It is.
That God comes to us, feeds us, and to prepare for that, we go to confession. So, I just ask the listener to keep that in mind as you're reading John 20, and as I'm doing my best to give commentary on it.
Okay, Father Matt.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, let us begin. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, the resurrection of Jesus. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Saying this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Jesus appears to the disciples. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Jesus and Thomas. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." The purpose of this book. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name.
Amen. And that's Amen. That's a nice summary of the Bible.
Yes.
Right? All of this is written to bring us to faith. Notice what it doesn't say. I think sometimes we can better understand the scriptures when we take that perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, what didn't Jesus say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, what's not said there is that these were written so that you would come to understand science fully. Right?
Yes.
This is written to build our faith in Christ,
Amen.
You know? And so often in my lifetime anyway, people say, well, this can't be true. 7 days, yeah, took billions of years for the world to be mm-hmm. formed. Okay, this isn't a science text. This is a spiritual text. Mm-hmm. These are events that took place, but then I think it's a very important phrase there that you read at the end of the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. But man, Dave, there's a lot going on in here.
Absolutely.
And in this, really, I think a good thing would be for us, for those of you just starting to be interested, I should say, in the Bible, you could do a lot worse than beginning at the 20th chapter, John's Gospel, because it all begins with the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
There's a song I used to listen to. I haven't listened to it in years now, by a guy named Dan Wilcox. It's called "Start with the Ending." Like, just get mm-hmm. that out of the way, because once your life is a lot better once you know the ending of it. So anyway, so there's a lot going on.
I'll have to look that up.
You start with the ending.
Yeah.
It's with
the ending.
Guy who plays the acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. There's a live version on it somewhere on YouTube. I used to listen to it all the time. But,
mm-hmm. Excellent.
So there's a lot going on. There's a little mystery, I think, in mm-hmm. this chapter, which I'm going to try to do my best to explain. But we're dealing with Mary Magdalene. We're dealing with those rolled up linen cloths. We're dealing with Peter and John. All of this running, Mary Magdalene running to tell the disciples, Peter and John running to the tomb, mm-hmm. then running back to the apostles. So I was out of breath just listening to you there, right? Just all that running that's going on. Mm-hmm. Then of course there's St. Thomas. I refuse to believe. The apostles all huddled in the upper room were mm-hmm. just a couple of nights before Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, the first mm-hmm. Eucharist.
And there he was. And then he was standing in their midst.
Yeah. Going on there?
Yeah.
Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. You know mm-hmm. those words.
Wow.
And then there's there's a lot.
Yes.
And if you compare chapter 20 to chapter 19, it's not as long, but there's a lot.
Yes.
Put in here.
Condensed.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, and then there's the establishment of the Sacrament of Reconciliation, chapter 20, I think verse 19 and forward. So there's a lot in it. So mm-hmm. I got my work cut out for me, to say the least, with this chapter. But it all begins, it's written, it begins with the end of that chapter. It's written so that we may come to believe. And so it's a text that is written to build up our faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I just want to share this, I guess, anecdote with you. So You know, I try to be outside after every Mass at our parish, as you've mm-hmm. seen. Even though you're not a parishioner, you still every mm-hmm. now and then worship there, mm-hmm. just to be available to the people. And mm-hmm. and it's funny what you pick up out there. So there was these two sisters last Sunday. Could you talk a little bit? Could we talk maybe set up an appointment so we could talk? Oh, sure. So they came to see me later in the week, and the one is a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And the one is, I wouldn't say a non-believer, I would say a spiritual seeker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's seeking, but mm-hmm. both raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. And eventually, as we were talking about faith, I began by saying, look, I can't prove this. I held mm-hmm. up my smartphone. I can't prove this, you know, my faith, like I can prove this is a phone, you mm-hmm. know, because this comes through sensory data that we
yes.
collect. I can feel it. I can mm-hmm. hear it when somebody yeah. calls.
Five senses.
Yeah, you are engaged in that.
Engaged in that.
Yes. So she said to me, well, then how do we know? And I said, I think Jesus gives us the answer. He says, just come and see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I may have used this in one of these episodes before. Mm-hmm. Like, come and see. And we see it here, like, just come and see. Like, that's why Mary says, do whatever he tells you. Mm-hmm. And I said to both ladies, I said, look, as I said, I can't prove it empirically. However, I do know this, that when I come and see
mm-hmm.
and then go and tell, it works. Like, when I do whatever he tells me to do in my life, he doesn't bat 340. He bats 1,000.
Yes.
And when I don't do what he tells me to do, my life gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, just that, when Jesus calls the apostles, and I mm-hmm. think I said this to the woman, I hope they come back. I invited them to come back at some point. So when he calls them, he doesn't say, I'm going to tell you about the sacraments. I'm going to tell you about the Beatitudes. I'm going to remind you about the commandments and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. At one point, I'm going to say you're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He doesn't say that. Yeah. All he says is follow me.
Follow, yes.
You know, like just follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll make sense as you do that. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly been my journey. It doesn't, mm-hmm. far, far from perfect.
And mine as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's the journey of a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Just come and see.
Yes.
And then go and tell.
Yes.
You know.
And I think you're doing a very good job of that, Father.
Thank you.
Right now.
Thank you.
With this series.
So the empty tomb serves to begin the resurrection account. And as I mentioned, Mary Magdalene runs to tell Peter and John. And then they, in turn, run to the tomb. And John, mm-hmm. it's important, respects Peter's primacy. John, the younger of the two, is probably in better shape, outruns Peter, but he waits for Peter, respects Peter's primacy, you know, and you go first.
Yes.
Right? And he goes in. And what do they find? I think this is pretty important.
Mm-hmm. They stoop and they peer in.
You can almost see them, right?
Yes, I can, in my mind's eye. You can all imagine that,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. And at that moment, Peter was amazed, I think, at the empty tomb. But then John starts and this is the John who wrote the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Things begin to happen in his mind. And it's this, and it has to do with these rolled up cloths. It's weird mm-hmm. that's in there. So I think it demands our attention,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes.
for, like, what's going on there? Because if somebody had removed Jesus' body, you know, if there had been robbers at work, why would they leave the clothes as they do? And something strikes him. These clothes were not disheveled. They were lying there, folded up. The clothes for the body, where the body had been. The napkin, where the head had laid. And the whole point, I think, Dave, with this detailed description, is that the clothes didn't look as if they'd been put off or taken off or thrown away. You know, I think about when I wake up in the morning. You know, when I wake up in the morning, sometimes depending on how well I slept, I'm like, how did that blanket, like,
get over there?
Get in the bathroom. You know, like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Right? It's a mess. I make the bed within a short period of time, but but this looks like it's already made up. There's a point that's being made there. They're lying there in the regular folds as if the body of Christ had simply evaporated out of them. Mm-hmm. And that sight penetrates John's mind. And he realized what had happened. And he believed. It was not what he read in Scripture which convinced him that Jesus had risen. It's what he saw with his own eyes.
Yes.
You know, I think...
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think we anytime I... And it takes me a lifetime, but... And even then, I probably need 50 more lifetimes, and that wouldn't be enough. Anytime you see something like that in Scripture, like... Other, like, don't just, like, treat it like, oh, yeah, potatoes are $4 a pound now, and, you know, a gallon of milk is $8. Like, well, wait a second. But this is divine word. Like, you know, like, why is
this
that?
This is it. This is it. Go, yes.
So there's something to be said there. I know I've had people in the past ask me about, like, what's the big deal with there and with that? And that's the big deal. Mm-hmm. That it's John sees this, makes a mental note of it clearly, he remembered it, and then he's getting ready to run and tell others, right? So while the apostles return home, Mary Magdalene stays there, and she cries. Just like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, when she sees him, she's not able to recognize him until the Lord calls her by name. You know, Protestants, to their credit, they talk about Jesus being our personal Lord and Savior. You know, he loves us as persons. You know, that's what this means. He calls her by name. And it's when he does call her by name that she perks right up.
Yes.
And her tears are turned to joy.
She knows in the depths of her being, in her mind, that is Jesus.
That's Jesus. Wow, the voice.
Yeah.
So I think there's something that, one thing to glean from this is, she's full of grief at this point. You know, Jesus was probably one of the few people, probably one of the few men who respected her as a person, right? And so her whole world is turned upside down.
Yes.
Like, wait a second. Like, and so she's full of grief. Her eyes are full of tears. Both of those things, both her feeling and her body, prevent her really from recognizing Christ until she hears his voice.
Yes.
Say her name. You know, and I just, for those of you who might be struggling in faith, try to take that to prayer. You know, try to take it to prayer that, all right, what emotions are blinding me?
Mm-hmm.
What in my body, what's going on in my body that's blinding me from seeing the risen Lord?
Yes, exactly. Know? And allow Jesus to call you by name, just in that still small voice when you're meditating and contemplating all this. Ask him to. He's there. He will call your name. He will call each of us by name. He does.
I did a 30-day retreat. Mm-hmm. I may have mentioned to you at some point years ago, back in 2012. And I needed 30 days of silence to cut through a lot of emotions and feelings. And without question, I heard God's calling me by name. Okay. So there's a lot going on there. And then Jesus says something to Mary. Every now and then Jesus said, like the Canaanite woman, it's not right to give the scraps, you know, to the dogs. Right? Like, what? Wait a second. It's so It's incongruous.
That was just recently in the daily readings.
Yeah. It's incongruous with what everything else Jesus said and did. Mm-hmm. So there must be another deeper meaning to this.
Yes.
Well, I think something happens here when she clings to Jesus. He tells her to let go. Do not cling to me yet, right?
For I haven't ascended to my Father.
And I would argue this, Dave, that that's very Eucharistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's going to have other chances. The Eucharist will be hers to enjoy. But now he has to go to the others, which he does. And so what does he do? He goes to the room where he had given the Eucharist, the upper room. And he gives his apostles the power to forgive sin. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the Father sent me. You know, I forget where in Scripture, but Jesus has his mission to seek and save the lost. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Father. Okay, so as the Father has sent me, I send you.
Yes.
And he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Those whose sins you forgive are forgiven. And those whose sins you do not forgive are not forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
This is the establishment of the sacrament of reconciliation.
Reconciliation, absolutely.
Right? Like, yeah, I'm giving to you the power to forgive sins. I'm sending you for the same reason my Father sent me. You know, and I know that's really hard to, like, intellectually. How can that be? Like,
yes.
No, like, Guckin is such a schlep. How can, and I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm tougher on myself than anyone else is.
Mm-hmm.
I still have yet to meet somebody tougher on me tougher on me than me.
All yes.
Right? So he gives the power to forgive sins right then, right there. And then a week later, there's a repeat of the scene with one exception.
Mm-hmm.
St. Thomas is present. Thomas was not willing to believe until he had proof, until he had that sensory experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes to believe when he probes Christ's wounds. Was, you know, Thomas gets a bad rap for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he does.
You know, doubting Thomas. And that's why I began by saying St. Thomas is present. I think we can all be like that. I want to see.
Yes.
Well, John saw. He didn't touch.
I was going to mention that. Yeah.
You know, he saw the, okay, and, all right, so there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like wanting to, right? And so, and you know, that's what Thomas needed. And once he got it, he never let it go.
Absolutely.
You know, we traveled all the way to India from Palestine.
Yeah, once he got the proof, and well, what?
Once he got what he needed.
When he was convinced, Lord and my God.
Right.
And that says it all.
That's it.
He assented right there on the spot and followed him to India.
Yeah.
And elsewhere, I don't even know, and maybe we don't know yet.
Yeah, and was martyred.
And was martyred.
By the way, for that. So, you know, Thomas, you know, I laud Thomas because he wasn't about to accept a counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you ever heard that beautiful, I'm not sure if it's true, but the legend of St. Martin of Tours, who had a dream one night.
I think so,
where,
yes.
You know, Christ the King appeared to him in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, get out of here, Satan. And his disciples said to him, how did you know it was Satan? He said, there weren't any wounds.
Ah.
My king has wounds.
Absolutely.
You know, my king has scars.
I recall that now.
Yeah, St. Martin
of
Tours.
It's been a while.
Yeah. But I think it shows the fullness.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need Thomas because we all play that role sometimes
of
Thomas.
Yes.
But also we need the fullness. Okay, look, he rose from the dead, but, you know, the other thing too is, but he rose from the dead, but it came at one hell of a price.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think it's so beautiful when Jesus comes back, he says, peace be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't say, where's Peter?
Yeah.
There you are. You cat, you sissy.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't say to Thomas the next week, missed a meeting last week, huh? Yeah.
Yes.
He doesn't, the things that you and I would say.
Exactly.
Where were you last week?
Yeah.
Mr. Big Shot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, so he doesn't do that. He comes back and he says, peace.
Peace.
So it's Yeah. But I want to go back to what I began with, which is, you know, all of these things are written to bring us to belief.
Absolutely.
You know,
yes.
To bring us to where John was. Okay.
And that can, can take a lifetime. And you even alluded to, like, when you were talking, maybe 50 lifetimes.
And even then.
But we're on the road. The important thing is to be on the road and to cling to him and to always keep our eyes on him, even though sometimes we can't or we don't because of our pride and arrogance in the world.
The world around us and the world within us. Usually those are the two factors that keep us from acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ.
Yes.
So we have one more chapter to go.
Yes, we do.
Chapter 21.
And, yes, we do.
Looking forward to it, that beautiful conversation that Peter and Jesus have along the shore of the Sea of Galilee.
All right, Father Matt, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
See you soon and talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay. God bless. Thank you.